Universität Hamburg.
This conference is called Strange Worlds, Paths and Spaces of the Fantastic in the 21st Century. And I have to say the two parts of this title are of particular importance for the subject of my report. The first one is 21st century, because I'm going to address a problem of the present condition of science fiction cinema and how it has been changing during the last decades. And the second one is the word strange, because in this report, which is not actually a report or the report, but just a couple of arguments from one special perspective, and I'm sorry for being quite brief, I want to provide some meditations on such a problem as a lack of strangeness in contemporary science fiction films. And for this purpose, I apply to the theory which, from the very beginning, made strangeness one of its principal points of interest. I mean the cult films theory, which appeared in my title, and which, as some of you may know, started in the 1970s with a short article on Casablanca by Umberto Eco, and then continued in 1991 with a well-grounded collection of articles edited by Telet, those who research in science fiction of course know him, entitled The Cult Film Experience Beyond All Reason. And the article I appreciate the most from that collection is the one by Timothy Corrigan called Film and the Culture of Cult. So I draw upon it to a considerable extent while summarizing some points from cult movies theory. And now we have several books with different approaches on cult movies and cult theory, and even the Cult Film Reader, by the way, without the article by Corrigan, which is important for me because it is a kind of oppositional win in a cult movies theory. So, Cult Film Reader. Additionally, this problem of strange love for strange cinema is discussed with the application of the concept cinephilia. Am I right in pronouncing cinephilia? Cinephilia. Yeah. And Thomas Elsesser is the best here, as always, with his article Cinephilia or the Uses of Disenchantment in a book Cinephilia, Movies, Love and Memory. So he analyzes the changing conditions of cinephiles' experience in new media and suggests some solutions to the problem of continual broadening of this concept. So one of these solutions allows us to see contemporary cinephilia and cult experience as being very close in some ways. So I would really like to persuade us to discuss a correspondence between the actual canonical lists of cult movies and science fiction genre, and ask ourselves a question about the sufficiency or insufficiency of this correspondence, and maybe, as I do, the meaning of the strange lack of strangeness in up-to-date science fiction cinema. But before I continue with the essence of cult movies theory, let me make a couple of reservations or remarks important for substantializing the argument. First of all, as you see, I speak from the perspective of cinema studies, about cinema only, and it is important to note at this interdisciplinary conference. Second, I don't speak about wizards or vampires, but about science fiction as a genre, with its own tasks, the text structures and ideology and some symbolic economy, as we always do when we try to grasp the essence of any cinematographic phenomena and trace some cultural changes during its history. While talking about the tasks and the abilities and the insufficiencies of this particular genre, I always have in mind first Frederick Jameson's classical text, Progress versus Utopia, or Can We Imagine the Future, with its diagnostic of permanent crisis in Western utopian imagination, of our total inability to imagine utopia, or otherness and radical difference, and with crucial assertion that all science fiction is not about the future, but about the present. Of course, it's a classical text, and I don't want to retell it. just some points. And second, I have in mind, as researchers in cinema studies always do, I think, another principal statement, the famous thesis by Garrett Stewart, that cinema about future is always the cinema about the future of cinema. This media referential claim of science fiction cinema is often remembered not only while describing the relationship of science fiction cinema and technology, but also as a kind of objection to Jameson, a kind of assertion of the unique abilities of science fiction cinema. And it is maybe even a kind of praise to cinema as a resource of glimpses of something other, connected to the presupposed magical, or in the case of cinema, that means, of course, technological capability of this medium to incarnate something different via technology, via montage, point of view change, time duration, and so on, or of something that exceeds our expectations and providing us with other experience. There were even some efforts to reconceptualize the whole history of science fiction cinema, counting as essentially science fictional all the films that provided us with the technological sense of wonder, like the early cinema and Georges Méliès in particular did. Brooks Landon, is, for example, responsible for such an effort in his text, Diegetico-Digital, the Convergence of Science Fiction Literature and Science Fiction Film in Hypermedia, which I translated into Russian. So while talking about science fiction cinema in general, we should always expect this tension to appear and to be productive. Science fiction cinema is restricted by the common laws of science fiction. As a structural method of showing us the limits of our imagination, as Jameson says, and additionally trying to hide this inability to break through, as well as other inabilities. We can remember Vivian Sobchak's text about the virginity of the astronauts and the lack of sex and sexual relationships in science fiction films. So it often becomes controversial and conservative. And at the same time, we should always hope, as all the viewers who love science fiction films do, that something will unexpectedly happen between two frames. We genuinely hope that from the innovative montage or random effects or some text of makeup or deliberate exploration of genre cliché, something like that, the truth of science fiction will be revealed again. And this truth presupposes storming the boundaries via technology. Well, that was my way of describing the tradition of science fiction cinema, which was established at the beginning of the 20th century and which came to its full realization nowadays. This nowadays marker means actually 21st century. And again, it looks like science fiction cinema profited greatly in this century by its media referential position and the addiction to special effects. Because with the spread of digital technology and the explosion of special effects and the introduction of 3D and so on, it seems like the cinema in general mostly goes the same direction, as you know. Again, the changing nature of distribution and eventually of reception of cinema via internet and home viewing and so on is potentially profitable as well, because science fiction cinema has always relied on fan activities, on children's repeat viewings, on a special kind of human interaction via cinema. And now it should be the avant-garde of internet activity of fans and cult spectators. So it should be, but coming closer to cult spectators again, I'm ready to make a principal assertion of my report. So it sounds this way. Surprisingly enough, new science fiction films quite rarely appear among the cult ones, if appear at all. And I will try to explain what is important about this fact, as I think. Maybe I'm wrong. It will be really interesting to discuss your lists of cult films. So I need to summarize very briefly and omitting even some important details, not so important in this context, what cult films theory is, what cult films generally believed to be. So according to that wing of cult film theory, which I am a follower, the cult phenomenon is regarded as an alternative strategy of US reception. Cult is an important resource for naming or describing the special kind of affection that people have for cinema. It indicates, as usual, an unusual, more than average, level of love for one unexpectedly and unpredictably chosen film. It reveals a strong affect. It marks uncommon path of identification with an image and with a fictional space. Sometimes it is called exhibitionistic one, this kind of identification, but I don't want to plunge into psychoanalysis and so on. So it includes a fascination with spatial and temporal strangeness of imagery or film construction, or characters or actors, and personal non-narrative attitude to it. Through this common fascination with strangeness and through increasing sense of contingency and uniqueness of the chosen object, cult reception strategy creates open communities for cinephiles or cult viewers eager to cherish unique cinematic moments. Or, as Elsesser suggests, in relation to the contemporary phase of new media cinephilia, ready to constantly reconfigure their own experience, rewatching films, possessing them, fragmenting them, and so on. There is a struggle between, by the way, between those researchers who doesn't think it is necessary to distinguish cult viewers and fans. Matt Hills is an example. And those, and I belong to the second camp, I should admit, to those who consider it to be a deadly important distinction, because in the case of fans, we mostly deal with the real communities with solid social characteristics, and with the cult views, we deal with a kind of invisible or inoperative communities, and as Jean-Luc Nancy calls them, just a possibility for perceiving the contingent object differently and for sharing this act of perception with contingent amount of people. Some example, just to lighten this description. Sometimes people go, maybe I think you know it, sometimes people go to a kind of midnight cinema with a rubber shark to see Jaws for the 100th time in their life and hold the shark above their head while the image of the shark appears on screen. So it is a real ritual practice in New York, and my friend went there occasionally, and he was not only surprised but astounded, and he didn't know exactly what to do when he saw this crowd with sharks, but finally he participated. So sometimes they spontaneously discuss Pulp Fiction on the internet while rewatching it on TV, and it is an example from my own experience. I was receiving comments in live journal from my friends who were watching the film at the same time on TV. Comments were just, look, in a moment he's going to save his watches. So, and sometimes just your friend tells you, you have to see Blade Runner, it's a cult movie, you have no other choice. So this is a common consent about cult movies, that their cult status is a matter of some random adventures of viewers' reception. It can be analyzed as such afterwards, and some reasons eventually appear, but cannot be deliberately constructed as a cult movie. When a director tries hard, he usually fails. But while analyzing the structure of cult feeling, researchers usually agree that there are some very essential elements to it, mostly concerned with strangeness. First, the cult reception strategy is very perceptible to any kind of visible gaps of disturbing distances. Cult image cannot be close. It is always far away. It is loved but cannot be appropriated. Second, the cult reception is very sensitive to any forms of excess. And last but not least, it has a strong protest flavor in it. It is very anti-industry oriented. And it looks like science fiction cinema with its images of future new worlds and with all this state-of-the-art technology and with the principal goal to test desperately the boundaries of our imagination should be a constant provider of images and spaces for cult reception. And it previously was. there are two clearly visible resources of cult science fiction cinema in the past. The first one is trash science fiction, and not only trash, but old science fiction as such. So from Plan 9 from outer space, if we talk about trash, to Forbidden Planet, yes, which was mainstream in 1955 when it appeared, but of course now it is a kind of, it's difficult for contemporary views to distinguish it from trash, but we know that sometimes it was mainstream, so it is just old cinema, old science fiction cinema. In Soviet, former Soviet and Russian cinema market, it is a cinema of 80s, science fiction cinema of 80s, which is so extremely strange for contemporary view. And the second resource is an inventive science fiction cinema. Yeah. A kind of auteur stuff with a great attention given to design and to philosophical underpinnings and social criticism. Films like Blade Runner and The Man Who Fell to Earth and The Space Odyssey by Stanley Kubrick and so on. So I would like to speak in this context about a special kind of insufficiency, not only about the worn-out state of utopian imagination in general, referencing Jameson, but about the lack of otherness constantly revealed in the science fiction cinema of the last two decades, resulting in the lack of love or the lack of cult affection for the fictional worlds, no matter how deliberately constructed and well executed they are via new technologies. It looks for me like science fiction cinema got into its own trap, trying so hard to invest into technological achievements. Because for such achievements, it needs resources, and in order to get the resources, it needs to grow bigger, to become one of the cornerstones of global film industry. And I just remind you that it was not that previously. It was different. The industry rarely appeals to controversial readings. And if it does, cult view is usually opposed to such attempts because they care about spontaneous feelings and sincerity, I dare say, and can be aggressive or ironic about cult advertisements. And by the way, I think that in this controversial case with Matrix, I think Matrix is an example of a victim of overdosed cult advertising, yes, let alone the reception of parts 2 and 3 by its viewers. Though the essence of cult affection is the same, the ways of distribution change, and now cult viewers mostly prefer online surfing, looking for something rare and unusual instead of going to cinema. So the special effect films which need huge screens and 3D glasses just fall out of the options of choice. And looking finally at the content and the structure of science fiction films of the last decade, we may assume that the problem is really perceptible on every level. The technology in Avatar, for example, let us not go further, contribute to our amusement and sometimes to our surprise, but it doesn't provide us with otherness. First, generally, because the speed of changes is so fast that we accommodate to it with even more speed, I think. Second, because the special effects in this film are total and inclusive. They immediately take everyone into their everlasting present. They try to make this present as real as possible and then eventually destroy any distance, any possibility for another reading, another identification, and for another temporal dimension to grow. So I point here again to at the Frederick Jameson's remarks about the totalizing present of contemporary imagery, which makes everything available on the screen and destroys the historical distance and sense of history whatsoever. And third, there are plenty of them, special effects, much enough to suppress the narrative, but they are not excessive. They don't provide us with that kind of astonishment which breaks the narrative at all, because what we see is nearly unbearable in the situation of real excess, and so serves as showstopper, as some numbers in music hall served. There is nothing disturbing about this imagery. It is very well done. It is pleasant to watch. It is successful from the point of view of Oscars because, as everyone knows, they got the technical awards and it should be this way, definitely. But there is nothing there that we can really love as much as we love Kyle MacLachlan's blue eyes and cheap artificial settings of yeah, you know what, of the desert of the planet Arrakis in David Lynch's complete commercial and intellectual failure. So the final the final phrase of my report may be too sentimental, but I will say it. Love is never too successful. No. That's all. I hope.